This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome, 10:02 in the nation's capital. Doc Walker, Mad Max, kicking it up for you. Shout out to Dr. Sabah. And she's following that sharpshooter, baby girl, dropping, knocking down three balls. How cool is it to be a parent of a baller and being able to travel and see them play and perform? I mean, I think that's every parent's hope. She was giving me some diagnosis, which is way over my head, about Wembanyama, and that, so we'll wait and see. We may get, before we're off the air, she may be able to tap in and explain it. What was your take on, you know, Milwaukee Bucks, Bobby Portis suspended 25 games for a positive drug test? I wanted your take.
Yeah,
did the Rooster get a chance to tap in on that?
We didn't, actually. We kind of kept it. We spent 20 minutes on Hooters yesterday, so that'll tell you how the show went. It was great.
Well, I mean, Rooster does have priorities.
He does, and chicken wings are at the top.
Oh, absolutely.
Quite frankly, I agree. But Bobby Portis, the prescription that he got was for Tramadol, which is not Toradol. Tramadol is a banned substance that the NBA just banned, like, prior to this season, like spring of last year or something like that. And I think it was given to him by an assistant of his, not affiliated with the team at all, according to the statement from his agent that I read, assuming that his agent's being truthful and all that. But, like, Tramadol is, I believe, a more mild painkiller than Toradol. It's just a little, so it's just a whole mess of miscommunication and just things like that. So while I 25 games is kind of a lot and a little bit excessive, especially for just something as simple as a little mix up, I just think it's, I don't know, if it comes out that this has been going on for more than, you know, more than like a one-off type thing, then 25 games is probably right. But like, given the how it's been portrayed, at least by his agent, I find it a little ridiculous that 25 games is the suspension here. It's kind of silly.
But he is wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, if you
don't ever take anything you don't get from a team doctor, you are right.
Anybody but the team physician.
You're right, but I know he did have a, according to his agent, he had a valid prescription for it. So a doctor did see it, write it down on a pad, sign off on it, and was like, here, you're taking this. Now, his assistant or anybody affiliated with him should probably know what the banned substances are in the NBA, especially if you're getting medication for an NBA player.
Right.
it's one of those things where like there's really not many excuses, but at the same time, like, I can see how things like this get overlooked, you know?
Yeah, but somebody, that's a quite a pill, 25 games.
Yeah, 25 is a lot.
Yeah, and
I'm not mistaken.
But I do, I'm a proponent of, if you got to rule and force them, make sure it makes sense and make sure everybody understands it. If not, and for the athlete himself, I can understand. No, I really can't. Because you know this has happened in the past. Had it been administered by the club, now this middleman thing.
He will be back.
I don't get it. Bobby doesn't have a history.
Well, he doesn't have a history of substance issues. He does have history of punching a teammate in the face so hard that he broke it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That was, you know, according to the story, mutual combat, you know?
Yeah, mutual Yeah.
Which I'm all for. But
I just understanding who you're playing for.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, that's the thing. He's not going to miss the playoffs, I don't think. They've played, what, 55 games the Bucks have?
Yeah, five. He may get back for, I guess, the final five.
Yeah, so he'll be back in time to get a little run-up, warm-up for the playoffs. And I think Bobby will be okay. Enjoy the time off is really all I can, is all I can say at this point.
I find it, and because I've listened to Mr. Willingham and his enthusiasm
for sure
for the Wizards, Les Boulets, and it's a very interesting deal. Not only in our city, but it happens in other NBA cities that where I don't quite get the. I understand it, but I don't get it. I think it's an excuse that we allow teams to get away with. Get it? You don't. It's not a guarantee. So you're saying you could be better, but you choose not to be. I don't believe you. So I got sucked in last night, listening to, what's his name again?
I forget.
Linnell Willingham, the big guy.
Yes.
Yeah, the big guy. And I'm going, and I buy in, because I love the pregame, love it, and I love all the people over there that work with Monumental. But this product thing, I'm having a problem with it, that are you trying to convince me that you're doing this on purpose? Because I don't believe you.
No, they've been, after the trade deadline, since they got rid of Kuzma, they've been playing really competitive. These games have all been very close.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, at the end of games, experience really, really matters. And this is just, it's kind of a young team. That's why we got Chris Middleton. That's why we got Marcus Smart. Guys who have been in the building for these successful teams.
Did you like
teams.
Middleton taking the last shot?
No, but also against his former team, yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, I understand wanting to get your lick back a little bit, you know?
But he's not the best three-point shooter on their team.
No, he's not.
I just, you know what, I understand. Well, here's what I do understand. The question is, do you care?
I want Cooper Flagg, so.
But you're not guaranteed to get him.
That's for sure true.
And if you don't get him, so I have to, and I don't want to not care, because when I see him, they got a lot of young people, and here's what gripes me. Even if you can't shoot, how can you not play better defense?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we allow people to get away with not defending or not hustling or not doing the other thing? Okay, you can't shoot. All right, get it. But I can't buy you not defending. or not doing the other thing. I don't get it. Then you try to make me think you're doing this on purpose. I don't believe you. I don't think you're capable of doing it the right way. You trying to convince me you're doing this on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe you. I just don't believe it. And it, to me, is terrifying to have these people be so fundamentally flawed on basics. But we'll see how it comes out. I know one thing for sure. It damn sure hadn't worked out for the Pistons.
Yeah, that's my big... it's been the shining example for the past, what, 3-4 years? They didn't get...
Convince me I'm wrong.
Yeah, they consistently got, what, drew fifth, I think? Like third and fifth or something?
Convince me I'm wrong. And by contrast, when I look at the Capitals, I go, wow.
First game back today. Clean.
Whew. Whew. I see a rocket ship.
I hope
now,
so.
They got a generational player. I get it. But they also gone through some transition and have used their system, their farm system, to perfection. They've elevated through their own ranks. They show me that they know what they're doing. They have a plan and they're executing the plan. Patience. Be patient. But I'm going to always question the people making the decisions, doing it, drawing up the plan until you prove me wrong. Until you prove me wrong. I can understand it if you can't shoot. I don't understand it if you can't defend. Either can't you can't defend or you won't defend. And I always go, every one of my analogies always goes back to the blacktop. When you're hungry. I've just seen people give more effort on blacktop than I do on some of these NBA floors. I just, to me, it's just beyond compare. I don't allow. Well, and then the All-Star game, I guess, what does this lead to? It leads to, why do the All-Star games suck? Because the people have allowed it to deteriorate within itself. How do you fix it? You fix the people by not allowing them to get away with Grand Theft Auto. You're allowing them to steal right in front of you. You did it. You allowed this junk to go on. And I love the public now is taking a stand on it. You're expressing yourself in a way that I think is good. So if when the hockey shows up and just shows you guts, blood and guts, and doing it for the thrill of it, and everybody responds in a way that I thought was admirable, and it was great, enjoyed it. And I'm glad we paid attention. I'm glad we put eyeballs on it, because usually we fall for the okey-doke. But this time it didn't happen. I think collectively we understood, hey, man, that was badass. Even when they dropped the gloves early on, I go, really? But they had a plan, and they played it out. And it just shows you the difference when you give a hoot and you go after it. I don't even know what money, how much they got paid for that. I don't even think they cared. It was like a cookout brawl. They just went for it. Or like softball. I've seen more enthusiasm at a diamond doing a softball contest than some of our pro efforts it put forth. So we'll see. We'll see if this brings about change or if it's all lip service. That we will find out. The MGM National Listener Line is 1-800-636-1067. And you can dial in if you have a take. If you don't, do us all a favor and keep it to yourself. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1021 in the nation's capital. Mr. Ben Standing joins us bottom of the hour. And I don't think Ben and Kevin are alone. A lot of you have invested in the mock schedules and are good at it. God love you, as Beatrice would say, because it's you got to put in work to keep up with it and the needs of the Commanders and where they are. I am, I wanted to know, what the general needs are of a team, the basics. Well, you got to beat whoever the gorilla is in your conference or your league. It's very clear, the bullies in our own division. And I think that we matched up against the bully as well as anybody did. We can actually say we beat the bully. And what does that mean? It means that the bully knows that you did something to him that very few did. So you got to measure yourself that way. And that's what I love about the NFC East. The Giants are not out of this thing. As much as I know AMAC, and we ride AMAC like Secretariat, one of our young and up-and-coming superstar producers. Don't underestimate anybody. Just remember, we just left Suckville ourselves. So before you get cocky, remember where we were. And all of a sudden, we're out of it. And now this season, again, brace yourself. Because you're coming in and out. You're walking into a buzzsaw. You better have steel-plated shield up. Because last year is over. This is a whole new ball game now. My concern is that we come in. I'm not worried about DQ and stuff. He'll have people. They'll be on point. But be careful coming in this thing with your eyes wide open, like you're at an amusement park. We are now being hunted. It's a different ball game. And I love it. I love it because that's what we used to. Our first stop today is going to be New Jersey. Mitchell, welcome to Overtime.
What's popping, Doc? How you doing?
Mitchell, man, this is in the old days, we used to call this butt-naked fun.
I know you can get paid for it, too, so it's great. If you love your work,
you're never working.
Well, I'm glad I retired. FedEx is really giving it to the employees. Well, first of all, before I get to basketball, I think the Giants are going to get one of those Pac-12 quarterbacks or ex-Pac-12 quarterbacks in Cam Ward, who played 2 years at Washington State, or Sanders. So it's going to be a good division where I think Cowboys have the weakest of the four quarterbacks. That's just me. I may have a little bias there. Is the Wizards the Generals? It just seems like they want to lose. They have to do something about this tanking on purpose. It's no secret anymore. I know it's a really good draft. Besides Cooper Flagg, you got the two guys at Rutgers. And one of Rutgers can do something this year in the tournament. But also, you got to say, you got to like the trades in the NBA. They even move stars. No one saw Luka coming. They complain that he's a little heavy. Is that why Sacramento chose Bagley, who's pretty much a bust, over because he looks like an athlete, where Luka, you know, he gets the job done. He's a top 10 player, overweight or not. I mean, there are plenty of overweight athletes that we had. They've done quite well. Now, Warren Sapp, Mickey Lowick, Babe Ruth. The Lakers always get their man. And unfortunately, I hope it's just a one injury, one time he can come back, Victor Wembanyama. But I have a sneaky suspicion they fleece Sacramento with Fox. They won't make the playoffs this year, and they want to recoup with Flag. Can this be the Boston Celtics, the West Coast? Because that's what it would be like.
I'll tell you this. And Lefty White on X, he dropped this on your boy. He said, read David Aldridge in The Athletic about why you have to tank in the NBA. Now, if DA says it, I'm following it. That brother could call me up at 3 a.m. in the morning and say, hey, man, I'm stranded. I'm running out to bed to go get him. I just think it's weird, and I hope we're not covering for incompetent management. Because when I say I'm tanking, then you don't pay attention to the reason that I suck. Because I put a flag up. Oh, I'm tanking. So am I not teaching? Am I not coaching? What are my practices like since I'm tanking? So has my development come to a halt? I don't buy it. I'm just telling you straight up.
All right, maybe I can tell you this. Maybe it's for the young guys, but with Washington, even Sacramento a point, I mean, they've had a lot of bad choices. But Washington, they've hit on quite a bit. But how many top five guys can you have on your team? And I guess it's just not panning out that you can't make the playoffs.
Telling you, I think even DeAndre can't cover up some funk. I'm telling you, I think a lot of mediocre executives are hide behind the fact of saying that they're trying to be bad. I'm just telling you, I just think they're bad, period. Got to run, Mitchell. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Enjoy your weekend. It is 10:28, all over the place. We're going to take a break. Treat for you at the bottom of the hour. Standick, Ben Standick. He will answer the questions about the mock draft, the Commanders, where they might be going, and we'll ask him, does he believe that when people say, oh, we're tanking, it's just not a way to say we really don't know what the hell we're doing. We'll be back. 10:33 in the nation's capital. Doc Walker on a hot microphone, Mad Max. So many buttons in front of him. I don't know how he does it without a computer in his brain. And we are honored to have a gentleman that's no stranger to this format. As a matter of fact, he's a host, he's a mentor, talk show legend in his own mind, of course, and that is Ben Standick, the man who has created a market with the mock draft, the mock schedule, and you're driving Brother Sheehan nuts because you're the leader in the clubhouse. How's it feel to be number one, Standick?
depends on who's coming from. Hearing it from you, I'll take the compliment.
Okay, well, good. Well, as long as you keep Sheehan on his toes, brother, you know that thrills me. When it comes to this art that you have perfected, it's not easy. But this, and people want to know. I don't know if your big board is up now, or do you do the first round? Or we're so used to having the Commanders in the first five, now that they function like a well-oiled machine, is that good for you or make it harder?
Well, look, it's a lot harder figuring out what they're going to do at 29 than two, but on the other hand, it also makes it kind of fun. It's a little, you know, when you're picking a 29 free agency, what you do there is going to matter, obviously, even a bit more because it's, you know, going to be dependent. I mean, do they end up, you know, making big moves to add a defensive lineman or a playmaker in free agency, that type of thing. So we don't know exactly what holes, what needs they're going to still have once we get to the draft. So, yeah, for, at the moment, that makes it, you know, you got to pay attention to a lot more things than just, you know, a handful of quarterbacks and figure out which one is the one that they're going to want. So, yeah, it's trickier, but it's also kind of more fun, a lot more options.
I look at the shiny object to me is Myles Garrett. If you have cap, of course, it's been expanded, as it seems to do every year. Number one priority to me is who's the most impactful guy I can get to change my team, because my team, as it's currently constructed, cannot beat the Eagles on demand. And that's who I have to beat in order to get to where I want to go. So this is like a chess piece. And to me, he, it's like kills three birds with one stone. So when I see him, because it makes my secondary better, it makes my linebacking play better, it makes everything better. I don't know if there's another piece on the board that I can get a bigger return on. Do you?
I think he's the biggest piece on the board for sure. I mean, you know, one of the best, you know, one of the best defensive ends in the league. And by best, we're talking like, you know, number one, number two, number three, somewhere in that range, coming off another fantastic season. Ironically, he was quiet when he played against Washington, but otherwise, you know, he, you know, worked his opponents this year just like you would. And, you know, it's not just that Washington last year couldn't stop the run. They often were getting beat consistently on the edge. That's where he comes in. You know, they did have a few guys that could, you know, get after the quarterback, but it wasn't always a consistent pass rush. He's going to give you that. So it would absolutely be probably, if you're just talking the person, regardless of how he would be acquired, yeah, he would probably be the one that would make the biggest impact. I think the question is, you know, A, is Cleveland trading? And that, you know, it all starts with there. They're saying no. We'll see what happens when things get a little bit closer to start a free agency or the draft. But then, you know, the matter of, it's a matter of, he's 29 years old. He's going to want a new contract that's going to pay him, you know, make him one of, if not the highest paid defensive ends in the league. It's going to cost you, you know, multiple draft picks at a minimum to acquire him. And we know that this team still needs to build that baseline through the draft. So I think that's what's interesting is, you know, when you have a team that half the roster is currently a free agent, how do you assess where you are in terms of, you know, being how close you are to really knocking off the Eagles? Obviously, they made the NFC Championship game, but, you know, you look at this team, there's still a lot of positional holes. So I think that's the interesting part is, what's the, you know, if he's even available, how much do you value what he's going to bring to you at 29 years old right now? Or is like, well, it's a lot of money, a lot of picks to pay, and maybe we're not quite there. That's going to be the interesting conversation, I think, internally.
What would you do? What has been standing in your staff? What have you decided would be the best move? I hear everything. Lattimore, now they want to get rid of and move. I go, are you kidding me? You haven't even seen his best work yet. Let the guy heal and perform for you. What would standing in his staff recommend right now?
Well, in terms of those guys, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on, like, Lattimore. Like, look, obviously it was a pretty disappointing debut in between the injuries and some of the performances, and notably in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, he came in injured. They knew that going into it. You have to, you know, factor that into some degree. You know, that Mike Evans game against Tampa in the opening round of the playoffs, you know, he went from not playing at all for several weeks to defending.
It's almost, you know, impossible.
Yeah, and so that's a tough break. But, you know, they've gotten to know him for the last, you know, however many months now. So hopefully there's a recognition that, you know, bringing back with a you know, full offseason, you know, hasn't been through this camp team. He hasn't been with this team yet through any, obviously, OTAs or training camp yet. So bring him back with that, and you know, you're still going to need that position anyway, right? It's not like you can, even if you were to, they can let him go without any dead cap charges, so that's interesting. But, you know, then what? You still have to then go get cornerback. You only have one Mikey Sanders still on the roster otherwise. So, yeah, I would say, you know, keep him and just kind of go from there. In terms of my, like a big trade, like a Myles Garrett, because you mentioned that, I think my issue is, like I said, Adam Peters, you know, still wants to build this thing through the draft. I've only had one with the new regime. If you trade picks away, you know, you're limiting, you know, the options you have, particularly probably in the first round at least, to add to this baseline. You started with Jaden Daniels and Sanders still and others. So I probably would pass on like that kind of deal, and I'd look to build, you know, without having to try to trade the picks. There's, you know, there's not necessarily obviously a guy like Myles Garrett, but you know, there's some other guys in free agency at not just a defensive end, but at a couple other spots that they need where could get interesting. So maybe spread the wealth a little bit more on the money, not trade picks, and go in that direction. But yeah, they've got to look, when you have 28 roughly free agents, they have so many interesting choices to make. Who do you bring back? How many of them do you bring back? You know, again, how aggressive are you going, and what level of aggressiveness are you taking? Is it one or two players aggressive, or is it like, let's bring in a lot of guys, but let's raise the talent level from where we were? I think that's going to be so interesting.
Max, I know you're dying to tap into the source that we have, and honored to have Ben Standing joining us now, the Athletic Podcast King, gets a chance to be a regular with Brother Sheehan, which is, I mean, not everybody can say that. And also, you knocked him off the King of the Hill mountain with the mock schedule, the mock draft. When do you two throw down the gauntlet this year?
Well, in terms of the mock drafts, I mean, like, usually, as we know, I'm afforded the opportunity to really start going into this in like November, December most years. But because this team was having an extraordinary regular season and
yeah,
a deep
this
run,
is different. This is
yeah,
different.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's not a 365 day deal for me all the time because I'm dealing with the team. So yeah, it took me back a little bit to. You know, catch up. I need a little bit more time, so we're getting there with the combine coming up this week. Of course, that's a big marker in the pre-draft conversation. And you know, I would just say in general for this draft, this is not like in other drafts where you've got some obvious heavyweights at the top. There's two, three, four guys we could probably imagine are going to get picked in some order out there, but I think after that, it starts becoming, you know, what's the flavor for each team? Like, you know, looking at defensive end, as we discussed, this is, considered to be a draft where defensive line is just loaded inside and outside in this draft, not just the first round, but beyond. But in the first round, there's like, you know, it could be like double-digit defensive linemen picked in the first round, and it's just a matter of what are you looking for? You're looking for that sleek edge pass rusher? Do you want more of that, guy a little more of a two-way to help stop the run? As we said, that's a big deal for Washington and so on. So just that alone, I think it just makes it challenging. You got to figure out, you know, what teams are going to really prioritize like a defensive line above everybody else, and then which one would you want? So yeah, it's going to take a little bit more time here, but that's why you go through the combine and you talk to people in the league, and you think about it more, read more, and then you kind of build from there.
But what do you think? What's your gut tell you right now? If we want to go out on a limb, we're thinking O-line. You know me. It's either O-line, D-line, or rusher, corner. There's only four categories. Even though I think that there's a legitimate need at linebacker – But yeah, that's sure. And again, I try not to say what we need, because if they don't, if it's not available, we shouldn't need it because it's not available. I got to go with what's available, then decide how I can fit it into what my team looks like.
Right, for sure. You know, I'm with you. I think, you know, right now I would be, you know, individual person aside, it may not be there that you think. I would be surprised if it's not defensive line or offensive tackle. And like I said, with the defensive line, this is a draft where, you know, that picking at 29, it feels like they should have a few options still in terms of what they're looking for alignment. I don't even think it's insane if they were to take a defensive tackle, but that's assuming that John Allen is like a salary cap casualty, which I definitely think is possible, just based on with his deal, 1 year left, he's gonna want a new extension. I don't know how much they're gonna want to do that. So if you move on from him, you would kind of need another defensive tackle. And if the lineman there at 29 is legit, then maybe you do it. But yeah, I would think edge rusher to me. How they find an offensive tackle will be interesting. There will be some guys at 29 potentially available. So if they like one of them better, absolutely, you can do that, and then maybe take an edge rusher later on again, because this is considered to be a really deep group. I don't think this is going to be great for free agency for offensive tackle, and anybody who's legit probably is not making free agency, so you're probably going to overpay a little bit for who's there. So, yeah, I think, you know, taking an offensive tackle at 29 would be probably the best case scenario, but I think edge rusher is probably the more likely, just based on the volume of what it is that's going to be out there.
Yeah, I think, and Max is working the phones right now, but he did have a good idea about, he said, you think chances the Commanders trade out of the 29 pick?
Well, this is where the quarterback class always comes into play, right? You know, the current projections is Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are the two guys who'll get picked first round, probably somewhere in the top 10 each. But then is there a third that comes into this draft? There's people like this, the Jackson Dart kid. And there's a couple, is Jalen Milroe, does he somehow, does somebody convince themselves that they can turn him into the next thing coming off of his career at Alabama? So if that's the case and a team wants to do that, it's going to be like back in the first round, and then Ken Washington, make that move. You would lose that fifth-year option for the on the contract for a first-round pick, for any first-round pick, but other than that, to add more pieces, to move down a few spots, I think that would be something that would, to me, would be potentially pretty alluring, especially, again, defensive ends, deep class. There'll be guys there, 5-10 picks after they're going at 29. That would be interesting. But, yeah, we got to see. If you want them to trade out of the first, you need a third quarterback to emerge that some team might want to trade up for.
All right, my brother. Well, any new books, films? I know you always got working on something on the cutting board. Care to share, or should we wait till next week?
Well, I would just say, next week, obviously, again, with the combine, and, we really start, I think, at this point, diving into the Commanders offseason. And also, I would say the thing with the combine is, it's based around the draft. But, this is where a few years ago there was all that talk about Russell Wilson being traded. Washington was in that mix a few days after the combine. He does get traded, and then the day after that, Washington goes and gets Carson Wentz. Last year at the combine is when Washington released Charles Leno and Logan Thomas. So, it's about the draft, but really is, to me, where the, for most of the league, the transactional part of the offseason kicks in. So, keep your head on a swivel if Washington gets involved with something that's, not free agency, but if there's a trade or anything else, then maybe we get some action going on this week.
All right, brother. I'm good with it. Max, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Sounds like a winner. And look forward to hearing you with Kevin. Keep up the good work. And I think it's going to be one heck of a week for us right here in the land of the W.
Absolutely. Thanks, Doc, for having
Thank
me
you,
as always.
Always.
Have a good week, man.
Man. Always count on my man, standing room only. Podcast. Stay with us. We shall be back. And as always, never to be discounted, we thank our good friends courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Thank you for Brother Standing. We'll be back. 10:54 here in the nation's capital. Rick Doc Walker on the microphone. Appreciate all of you. Shout out on X. We've been having a great, great participation, and it's engaging. Hard to do this solo. I mean, it really is. So the more the merrier, and we love it when you engage, and then we can get back, and the teamwork thing kind of works. Kind of works. Max, you had, like I said, a big week with the Rooster.
Always. It's always a big week with Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, he's he doesn't really like to be called Chris.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, just pulling your coat, you know. Pulling your coat.
I appreciate being checked. I need it sometimes, you know?
Well, everybody, we all do.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you didn't have anybody checking you?
I might be dead. I didn't.
Can you believe that Dr. J, when did you first hear about, and again, much younger for you, but happy birthday for Dr. J.
Wow.
75.
Damn.
And impact, I mean, on the West Coast kid growing up, and you hear about a guy that's playing on a playground. I didn't hear about him in the NBA. I heard about him hooping on a playground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, and this is no social media. There wasn't nobody tweeting in the 60s.
You ever get a chance to make the trip down there and see, to watch him on the blacktop?
No. No. I was barely driving. What are you talking about? Make a trip. Well,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I don't think I had a Volkswagen by then. What are you talking about? I'm just saying how when you have impact.
Oh, yeah.
When you hit legends. I mean, the D.C. legends about here with hoops. I mean, you know, we had the Wizard on a couple weeks ago. And I love the Wizard because the Wizard, all these guys here that played at Georgetown, played at Maryland, played at Mason, AU, GW. They've all had runs. The Yinka Dare run. They've all had runs. The Mason run. The legendary Mason run.
Yeah. I was a little kid,
I mean,
and I
everybody's
still won't
had their
that.
Moments
yeah.
here. This has not just been dominated by one factor. When we talk about hoops, and when G from the shop, when they call up and talk about it, it's in the water.
It's in the water.
They're not kidding around. And it's sustained success. High school hoops in this area right now, which, again, they tell you over and over, well, nobody talks about it. But they don't give a damn whether you talk about them or not. Because in the meantime, they just balling out. Boys and girls off the chain. Which means they're getting great coaching, support of the union. I just say that our youth involvement in coaching, mentoring, and support in the Metroplex is incredible. Incredible. We may not be the smartest group of people politically or sociably or a lot of different things, but I'll tell you one thing. As the old folks used to say, you can put your foot on this one. Our contribution to young people in athletics, in the DMV, I challenge it against anybody in the country. And these are volunteer people to just give a hoot about the development of young people in athletics. Spectacular. Give yourself a pat on the back. To break we go. Next hour, believe it or not, he is the incredible, honorable Al Galdi talking ball with us right here on The Fan.